to really get into the depths of the constitution of the kingdom, although it is just 3 chapters here, it'll take time. But it doesn't really matter, because all of you who have a desire for the kingdom, you have to get into this word. Because the constitution and the laws of the kingdoms are very important. Right? You want to be a good citizen, you better know the law. If you don't know the law, whether you like it or not, you might break the law. Perhaps you can say, but I didn't know. What is the judge going to tell you? Exactly. This is what the Lord is going to tell you one day. You can tell the Lord, Lord, I didn't know. Is that a good excuse? The Lord will say, well, it's written. You got a Bible. Huh? Exactly. You think you'll get less stripes? No, because you're supposed to know. And maybe you have a few copies at home. Right. So it's not ignorant. You're not ignorant. You're lazy. You didn't care to know. Right? If you're a little girl like our little sister here sitting there, she might say, well, I didn't know that. But if it's me telling God, oh, I didn't know, what do you think God will say? You should have known, exactly. So there's no excuse for any of us here, except maybe for the younger ones. Right. But, praise the Lord, we want to know, not because we are afraid to be punished by God. We want to know because we want to please the Father. We want to build up the kingdom. Right. We want to fulfill the will of the Father. And to be a good citizen of the heavenly kingdom. Yeah. To inherit the kingdom as a reward. It's the greatest reward in the whole universe. Right. To be co-kings with our Lord Jesus Christ. To reign over the nations. Isn't that wonderful? All of God's creation. Don't you want that? Well, you paid so much price to be a good swimmer, right? You cannot just swim once a month and be a coach. Right? You told me you swam every day. What about reading the Constitution of the Kingdom every day? Would you promise to do that? Yeah? Good. It's good. Actually, these words spoken by the Lord in Matthew chapter 5 to 7 are not hard to understand. It is very easy. Right? You don't even need much interpretation. You don't have to study the law. You don't have to go to law school to study. You just have to read it. Right? If you have to go to law school, goodness, how many years and how many books and how many cases you need to read, and so difficult. Right. But here, this is so wonderful. It is so simple. No need of much interpretation. Right. But we still need to have some fellowship. But we don't need to have much, what? Teachings about this. Now, we didn't fully get into it. After being such a people of the kingdom, the sons of the kingdom, the Lord used the word sons of the kingdom. Because without the life of the kingdom, you cannot fulfill this, even though it's simple. Right? For example, in the Old Testament days, the last five are very short. Thou shalt not kill. Do you need to interpret that? No. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You need much interpretation. Thou shalt not steal. How about that? Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet, whatever. You need teachings about that? No? George? Dr. Chua? You're already a doctor. You don't need interpretation for the last five. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. How about the first one? You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Even Isaiah understands that, right? Isn't it? Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Thou shalt not make any idols and worship these idols. And you shall not, what? Take the name of the Lord in vain. Yeah. Honor him. Don't use the Lord or God in vain. Right? People all the time say, oh God. Although they don't believe in God. But they say, oh God. And so, not to say, oh God, they say, gosh. Right? And we say, oh my God. But instead of saying that, we know we shouldn't say the name of God. Oh, my goodness. Who has goodness? Do we have any goodness? Who is good? Did not the Lord say when somebody came and the young man said, good master, the Lord stopped him right away. What do you call me good? There is none good but one. So if you and I, usually, we like to say, my goodness. Wow, what goodness do you have? Why do you swear by your goodness? We did so many things without thinking, without considering that we are taking the name of the Lord in vain. If I don't mention it, maybe you never thought about it, right? Right. So, right, we did a lot of things, perhaps unconsciously. But that's where it came from. Right. So may the Lord open our eyes to see. Although the words are very simple, but it is not easy. And then you have to remember to keep the Sabbath day. What is Sabbath to you? Sharon, what is Sabbath to you? Are you keeping the Sabbath?
Yes, in the
Lord. What does it mean? He is your rest. How do you do that? I'll give you a hint. Use Hebrews chapter 4. What did he say?
Turn to his rest. My
That means you cease from your own work. How do you do the work of the Lord? Have you been serving God? Is it difficult to serve God, right? It's an obligation, huh? For you, it's an obligation, isn't it? Oh, I have to serve God, right? Don't you love to serve God? To do something for God? Oh, we did so many things, especially in this conference. So who is doing it? Can you do God's work in the 6 days in Genesis chapter 1? Oh, if God called Moses, "Moses, come and help me. Adam, come and help me." What do you think? God created Adam in the 6 day, not in day one. Wouldn't it be good that God created Adam on day one? I think I would do that. Why? Oh, so now I can have a little helper. Wouldn't you do that? Oh, maybe not just one Adam, I'll create 10 Adams. Adam was created in the last day, meaning to say, he didn't have to do anything. How can you help God create the heavens and the earth? How are you going to help God? Suppose God calls you, John, come help me to create, to make the heavens and the earth. Okay, not to make the heavens and the earth, that's too much. But 6 days of renovation, huh? God says, okay, John, I'll let you create light. Oh, you say, it's too hard. Okay, what about the second thing? How about create atmosphere? Can you do it? Okay, what about separating the dry land from the sea? Try it. Oh, you say, okay, I'll try it with Sharon. You think you can do it? What about creating all this wonderful biological thing, firstly the botanical things, and then all the animals? Can you do it? You try to help. What about if you try? Do your best. Huh? How about you, Jean? You must have a lot of experience already. Come, help me, God will say to you. No, you cannot. What about to recover, fix the sun and the moon and the stars? George? Maybe Elon Musk can do it. No one could help him. We think we are so capable. That's why the Lord told us, go to rest. John, go to rest. Go to rest. We have to go to rest. Before you serve God, you have to learn firstly to rest. Otherwise, I don't know what's going to happen to do so much work. What did Paul say when he did so many things? He said, I serve and I did more than all the other apostles. Praise God. Did he say that? He says, but it's not I. This is rest. He really knew the Sabbath rest. Yeah? Don't you want to rest? Or do you want to work? If you're working for Apple, you can't rest. There's no rest there in Apple Company. If you rest, you will have to rest forever. You're fired. You're fired. But to serve God is very different. Serve God is very different. A priest is not allowed to sweat. That's why they're not allowed to wear woolen garments. Why? Because you'll be sweating all the time. You're not allowed to sweat. What does it mean you're not allowed to sweat? To sweat means it's hard work. You have to wear linen garments. So wonderful. Linen garments. You're not allowed to sweat. Sweat happens only after man fell, after Adam fell. Then all the plants and trees and all that are under the curse because man fell. And so you have to till the ground in order to bear fruits. You have to do a lot of work. Garden work is not easy, right? You cannot just bless the apple tree and, oh, the next day, so many apples come out. You have to do a lot of toil and work. That means you have to sweat in order to harvest. So the commandment there is, remember to what? Keep the Sabbath. Are you keeping the Sabbath? Not like the Seventh-day Adventist, okay? They're keeping the Sabbath. There's a lot of trouble. Yeah, you have to remember a lot of things that you shouldn't be doing. Right? You remember your neighbor? They forgot to what?
No, they needed somebody to turn the switch on.
To turn the switch on. Yeah, you see? So it is so difficult. If you forget, you're in trouble. They cannot even go into the house to turn the switch on. You think they have good rest? Did he have rest? Oh, he was, must be so what? Worried. Right? Oh, I have to turn the switch on. I have to turn the switch on. How can you rest? Then they have to call George to do it.
And I had no rest.
And you have no rest. You should tell him, why did you disturb my rest? So we have to learn to keep the Sabbath rest. He who keeps the Sabbath has ceased from his own work. Wonderful. To serve God, you don't need to be a superman. Because it is Christ in you, the grace of God in you. It is not I, Paul says, but Christ living in me. He is the one doing the work. Okay, Johnny? Remember that? When you go back to Germany, right, learn to rest. To rest is not being lazy, no. Because Paul didn't say, I'm lazy. He said, I did more than other apostles, yet not I. This is the secret of the Sabbath rest. So, all of these 10 wonderful commandments, and then honor your parents, your father and your mother. Praise the Lord. You can do it much, much better with Christ in you. If you love the Lord, you'll honor the Lord. If you love your parents, you'll honor your parents. I'm already 81. I still dream about my mom and dad. So grateful for what they have done for me. And so sorry that I gave them so many troubles. Right. Honor your father and your mother. Meaning to say, we have to honor God, to serve Him acceptably, with reverence, and with godly fear. Isn't that wonderful? Right. And God gave us only 10 commandments. And if you have eyes to see, this heavenly constitution is all based upon these 10 commandments. It is the same in principle, except the standard is risen. Because now we have the life to do it. We have the life to do it. Praise the Lord for His wonderful life of Christ. And if we are such a people, then we definitely will influence the whole world. Why is the world like this terrible? Because God's people, not only they didn't influence the world, it's the other way around. The world influenced them. Am I right? Or am I wrong to say that? Are you influencing the world, or is the world influencing you? Everybody's quiet. Right. If you're quiet, that is also an answer. Because all of us must be truthful to ourselves. Many times we are being influenced by the world instead of influencing the world with this wonderful divine life that is within us. Can you imagine if America is still so strong? Remember the first term of Mr. Trump. He influenced, USA influenced the whole world. Am I right? Even that little naughty boy in North Korea must bow down. Because the USA is strong. But now everybody is making fun of America. Laughing. They even want to conquer America, to take over. The same principle. Instead of we, the people of God, the sons of the kingdom, influencing the world, it was the other way around. At the end, look at the first 5 centuries, the churches, the golden lampstands disappeared. And what happened to them? They became Babylon. The Roman Catholic Church, which is actually satanic. So who was influencing who? Praise the Lord. Come in. Just hop in, don't worry. There are so many things we need to see in reality. It's not simple just to read, oh, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Of course, it's very simple to read that. Everybody knows that, right? Have you ever read that? Oh, yeah, right? How do you apply that? We have to ask ourselves, who is influencing who? The salt is used, first of all, for seasoning. Seasoning, to bring forth the flavor of life. Right. The testimony of our Lord Jesus. So that the world can see that. But when people look at us, what do they see? What do they taste? That's why we need to use so many words to explain to people. But it's not the explanation, it is what we are. We are the salt. It is what we are that will influence. It is not trying to convince people. If it doesn't taste good, I have to convince you that it tastes good. Right? If you don't like pizza, I have to convince you pizza is very good. But if something really tastes good and smells good, it is very appealing. It gives you the appetite. Just the wonderful aroma of the food will already stir up the appetite. We are the salt, firstly, to bring forth the aroma of the divine life, of the truth. And it is also used for preservation. Yeah. If you want to preserve the fruits and a lot of things, you need salt to preserve. Right. If you preserve it, it remains like that so long. But if it's not preserved, it corrupts after a few days. In our Christian life, very often it's easy to be corrupted. I've seen so many people in the early Christian life, in the earlier days, they're doing well, but then after a while, they cannot preserve it. They will corrupt it. The last 60 years of my life, I've seen that. I'm very thankful that the Lord still kept us until this very day. It's not just by automatic, no. No. Right. And it's not that we are better than others, no. But there's the preserving power of the Lord, the salt. We should be this kind of a salt today. And then the light of the world, praise the Lord. The Lord said, as long as I'm in this world, he said, I am the light of the world. People who are sitting under the shadow of death and darkness, they saw a great light. And we should be this light. If you have light here, don't turn it off, unless nobody's here. But if we are here, people are here, don't turn it off. You are the light of the world. Wherever you are, wherever we go, we should be the light. Don't be just a preacher. Paul says, right, you shine forth as light in this crooked and perverse world. We should shine forth, holding forth the word of life. We should be this kind of a light, this kind of people. Firstly, we have the life within us, and then we need to also know the laws without. It's not just the life within, because we are still living today in this world. We still have this flesh with us. We are still living in this earthly tabernacles. We need the living word of God. Is it good enough just to have a human life, James? Oh, you went to school how many years now? From kindergarten all the way to high school? Total of how many years? 13 years. Why do you have to go to school 13 years? You have a human life, that's good enough. No. This is the wonderful thing about having this life. Right? You cannot send the dog to school for 13 years and it will be like you after 13 years. Because a dog's life is just a dog's life. Mercedes only knows a few words. Sit. Sit. Right? Lie down. Down. Stay. Stay. Right? Very simple. But even that dog has to learn that. Right? You teach that dog every day, isn't it? And train it. But we cannot just learn with three words. Of course, Watchman, you wrote a book called Sit, Walk, and Stand. It is not that simple, sit, walk, and stand. But there are so many things to learn. The higher the life is within us, the more capability we have. And it has to be developed through learning. So if you want to grow spiritually, you definitely need the Word of God. If you want to be a proper citizen of the kingdom, it's not enough just to have the life inwardly. You need Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. I'm glad the Lord did not give us a thick book concerning his laws. No, we don't need that big a book concerning the law itself. Right? So the Lord gave us these three wonderful chapters. And of course, you need the whole book to understand it, to appreciate it. Right? So we do need to have this desire to learn. You learn so many things in this world. You learn so many things about what? Mechanic and about batteries, right? You learn so many things. What about spiritual things? You think you don't need to? You don't need to learn? Right. Let me tell you this. The anointing that dwells within you, he will teach you all things, okay? He will teach you all things. But if you do not know the scriptures, many things he cannot teach you. You need a word. Right. And then the anointing within you will teach you all things and lead you into all truth. But if you have no desire to know the truth, how is the anointing going to teach you? And how are you going to confirm that it's the teaching of the anointing? Maybe it's your own feeling. Maybe it's your own concept. Maybe it's somebody else teaching you and influencing you. And today, all the teachings didn't come from here and here. It comes from so many false prophets and false teachers. What are you going to do? How come so many Christians who are born again, definitely, like 1 John chapter 2 says, the anointing dwells in you, and he will teach you all things. But hey, without the word, don't forget about the word in chapter 1, the word of life. The word of life. Right. So, not only the inner life is necessary, the nature and the character. Right? It will give you the ability, yes, but then you still have to develop it and to learn to grow. Right? Do you know everything? No, so what do you have to do? Go to school and learn, and especially read the Bible. Learn this. The spiritual life, in principle, is very similar to our human life. This is why we need the law. Right. You may be a U.S. citizen, but you still have to study the law to know the rules. Otherwise, you'll be breaking the law. Okay? So, now let's go back to the law. The heavenly law. But even the heavenly law is very practical. If the law is not easy and simple to understand and impractical, then you will have an excuse to tell the Lord, Lord, it's too difficult. You didn't give me a good mind. Right? You gave Timo a better mind to understand, but you didn't give me a good mind to understand. No, the word of God is not hard. You know what salt is, do you? Huh? Everybody knows, right? What salt is. You know what light is. So, now, praise the Lord. Now let's go quickly to the outline, right, so that we can at least touch part of it. Yeah. In Roman numeral 2, remember, the righteousness of the sons of the kingdom must exceed that of scribes and Pharisees. Because today we are sons of the kingdom with his divine life. And the problem we have learned from scribes and Pharisees is they may know the letter, but they don't do it. That's why the Lord says, do what they say, but don't do what they do. Now that's not very good. Right. So, our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees in the day when the Lord was on this earth. Right. So, number one, thou shalt not kill. But today, in this heavenly standard, you should not hate. You should not hate. And you should not get angry. Many times we are angry at somebody for nothing. Right? Just a little bit of this and that, and immediately our temper exploded like a volcano. Right. Many times, husband and wife, we get into an argument for nothing. Right? No? So don't do it now. You're a heavenly citizen. Right. So don't get angry. Exercise self-control. This life is a life of self-control. Right. If you can control that anger and that temper, oh, praise the Lord. And it is all by this wonderful life within us. Yeah. Don't be angry against the brothers. Yeah. And don't say because. Right. Cross out that without a cause. Okay, let's continue to the second point. Overcoming the lust of the flesh. And the Lord says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The flesh is terrible. The flesh is terrible. Right. I already mentioned it in 1 Corinthians. Paul mentioned, right, I think in chapter 5 or chapter 6, the first thing in all the long list is always fornication and adultery. And look at the terrible time of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. The moral is so low. And today, look what's happening in this world. The morality is so low. Because nothing destroys humanity and corrupts humanity more than immorality. So you can see some children, they have two fathers and two mothers, and they didn't know who their real father is. Yeah. And what caused the downfall of King Solomon? Too many wives, that's... Even many is not... Many enough. Right, with all the concubines. That is why the whole nation and his kingship is just terrible. Right. And look at what is the worst sin of King David. He was a good king. But what is one of his worst sin that he had committed? Not only adultery, but because of adultery, he killed. He murdered the husband. Right. So this is why he wrote Psalm 51. You have to read that psalm, you can see. For him, that was sin. And he says, it's not just sin against man. He says, I sinned only against God. Because it was God who gave the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. So don't think adultery and fornication is harmless. We have to pay attention to what the Word of God says. That is why the last five adulteries mentioned, not just stealing, not just murder, right? Not just bearing false witness, not just covetousness. And Paul mentioned both in Galatians and in 1 Corinthians, those who committed such things shall not inherit the kingdom. Don't think it is a small thing, okay? And this is the terrible thing of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look what is happening today. So the Lord says, when he comes, the times will be like the time of Sodom and Gomorrah and the time of Noah. Right. So, praise the Lord, learn to control and overcome the lust of the flesh. It is still there, but you can overcome it. This is why John also mentioned the world. He mentioned the word lust. The lust, it's a desire that burn within the flesh. And today, everything. That's why beware of Hollywood. Beware of Hollywood. It's the center of lust. And it's influencing the whole world. Don't think it is entertainment. No. So, praise the Lord, overcoming the lust of the flesh, adultery and divorce, it is so common today in this world. And transgenderism, and it's worse than adultery. It is gay marriages. All this terrible thing. And people are accepting it. And they are so proud of it. And then regarding our speaking. Right. Now let's go to what the Lord said here. Well, you can read it yourself, right? Concerning the matter of adultery and divorces, that's why no divorce. Yeah. In verse 33, and again, you have heard, it was said of those of old, in the Old Testament days, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oath to the Lord. But then in the new law, the heavenly kingdom, I say to you, do not swear at all. Why? Because nobody has kept what they have sworn to do. You think today, you know, if you are voted into the office, what do?
Swear.
Based upon what? Based upon the Bible, the Word of God. And they kept it? They didn't even believe in the Bible as the Word of God. Are you making fun of God? Right. So what's the use? You're only swearing to your own judgment. Believe me, these people who did that, they are going to burn somewhere. Yeah. Do not swear at all, neither by heaven, because it's God's throne, neither by the earth, for it is the footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, not even to swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. You have no control over your head. Do you have control over your mind, what you think? John, Johnny, Johannes, you control what your thoughts? It's easy to control your thoughts. You always have holy thoughts. Oh, no. Okay, if I change my question a little bit, then it's easy to answer, right? Yeah. So don't even swear by your head, not just because of your hair, That means what the Lord is trying to say is you can't even control your own thoughts. You cannot even control what you like to see and what you don't like to see. And you don't even control whatever is here in your ears. You like to hear gossips. Right? If somebody talks about gossip, oh, you're all ears. Your ears became as big as elephant. And you remember everything that you heard concerning gossip. But after this message, you go home, you forget. So don't swear. Very simple. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Ha, speaking the truth. You think speaking the truth is easy? No, it is not. Let your yea be yea. Let your nay be nay. It is a Hebrew way of saying double negative. No, no. Yea, yea. Very definite. Many times we compromise somewhere in between. Maybe. You want to come to visit us? Maybe. That's not good. Either yes or no, not maybe. Anything that is not yea or nay, anything in between, the Lord says, ha-ha, is half lie and half truth. Be very definite, yes or no. Did you do this? Oh, I forgot. Really? You forgot? Well, I can't remember. You know, they all say I can't remember when they're before that Congress and being interrogated. Did you or did you not do this? I cannot remember. And what about this and that? I don't remember. And all of a sudden, you become an idiot. Don't remember anything. You think they are telling the truth? This is the devilish way. Yeah. Let your yes be yes. No be no. Very simple. But in the flesh, we cannot be that simple. We always say, maybe, I don't remember. But, I don't know but. Yeah. So, praise the Lord. Because if you cannot say yea or nay, whatever you say, right, if it is not true, it's the same as swearing. Because to say the truth, you're saying it before God. Only God is true. The devil is a liar. God is the truth. The Lord says, I am the truth. Right? Our God is a God of truth. Zion is a city of truth. No lie there. So if you cannot speak the truth, then you're one with a liar. If you speak the truth, you're speaking for God, in honor of God. God's heavenly people, citizen of Zion, of the heavenly kingdom, must speak the truth. Praise the Lord. Learn this. Your speaking is connected to making an oath before God. You just don't use it and don't say it. You don't have to raise your right hand. No need. Better not. Just say no, and that's good enough. The answer is very easy, right? Just like in the test, yes or no. They don't give you a three choice and then let you guess. True or false, and then there are three choices. No, God doesn't give you three choices. You speak the truth. Then, how we react toward the enemies. Right. The first one is how you react toward the brothers. Don't get mad so easily at the brothers. Sometimes just little things, oh, our flesh just reacted. We need to learn to say no. Turn to the Lord in our spirit. Right. And then how to react toward the enemies. Right. In the old days, what does it say? In verse 38, you have heard in the old days, it says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But we don't do that. A tooth. Two tooth for a tooth. You knock off one of my tooth, I'm going to knock three of your teeth. Knock them off. That means a revenge. Don't have a spirit of vengeance. Vengeance is the Lord's. Let the Lord do it. That's why 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 2 tells us, I'm sorry, chapter 2 tells us, the Lord did not judge his enemies. He left all the judgment to the one who judged righteously, which is God. God will fight for you. You don't need to fight for yourself. It is better. He can fight better for you than you. Yeah. In the whole Bible, with the people of Israel, it was all the time God fighting the battle for them. Right? They won every battle, not by themselves. It was God who fought for them, who judged the enemies. The best thing is learn from our Lord. People who may do something against you and terrible things against you, leave it to God. Do not react. Don't have to fight for yourselves. Right. So, what did he say here? An eye for an eye. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. Right? When the Lord was on this earth, did he resist? No, he left everything to God. Even all the way to the cross. They think it's finished. They finish him off. Less than 72 hours, less than 30 hours, he rose again from the dead. God raised him from the dead. So do you prefer to escape the cross or to rise from the dead? What do you prefer if God gave you the two solutions? To escape the cross or to rise from the dead? Stefan thought it was a hard choice. I know it's a hard choice. You should turn the question back to me. I will turn the question to Jesus. Then I will answer you, what did Jesus do? What did he do? And I will pray, Lord, give me the grace to make the same choice as you did. But if I know that if they are killing me, but on the third day, less than 27, 28, 30 hours, I'm going to rise again. Okay, do it. And if I rose from the dead and have a wonderful new spiritual body without any limit, well, why not? And a crown. Wow. So now what will be your choice? Oh, yeah, you see, now he knows what choice to make, right? Right? So don't worry. You know, we are God's people. You know, if somebody did something to my granddaughter sitting there, for example, can she just fight back? No, I tell you, she will cry out, Grandpa! And I'll be right there. It's better let me do the job, so to speak. Right. Leave it to the righteous judge. But we cannot do that. We like to react and fight right away. An eye for an eye. Right. No, that's not the kingdom of God's people. That's not our way. Our way is we leave it to God because he could do the best to keep us, to preserve us, to help us. Right? Look what he did to the people of Israel to bring them out of Egypt. Do you think they can get out of Egypt by themselves? And what about when they, in front is the Red Sea, behind is the Egyptian army, who's going to help them? Who could help them? God. Nobody could open up the Red Sea, only God. So learn. Do not react, do not fight. You don't need to learn Kung Fu. Trust God. Trust the living God. Right? Don't have to fight. To resist an evil person means you fight. Yeah. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, okay, let them do the other side too. Other side too. If they did it, I tell you, the punishment will be not only twice, but 20 times worse. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let them have your cloak also. That means just let them take it. You won't be any poorer if you give them your cloak, especially if they need it. Why would somebody steal your cloak? Must be because they need it, right? Especially in winter time. The homeless people come and try to steal your jacket. What would you do? Fight with them? Just give it to them. This is the kingdom, people. And the Lord will bless you. God sees everything. You have to trust in the King. Goodness. The problem is we don't know the King. If you give it to them, the King will give you a new, beautiful, wonderful jacket made in heaven. Not in China. Yeah. Look, we serve the Lord, and up to this very day, the Lord had taken care of us. You have to know and trust this God, this wonderful God. He owns the whole universe, my goodness. Are you afraid he will not take care of you? I have a lot of stories to tell you, but we don't have time tonight. Anyway, right, don't retaliate. Even love your enemies. Feel sorry for them. Love doesn't mean that, oh, you hug them, okay? Don't do that. You might ask me, how do you love your enemies? Well, just look at the Lord Jesus, how he loved the enemies. He didn't join the scribes and Pharisees. I love you, okay, I'll join your organization. No, that's not love. Right. But the Lord sympathized with them. Yeah, you have to know what love here means, to love your enemies. You need the love of Christ, not your own way and concept of love, okay? Right. Praise the Lord. Anyway, let's continue. Right. Our attitude is love your enemies. Show them that you don't hate them. When they crucify the Lord on a cross, what does the Lord say? Father, destroy them. Huh? What? No, don't forgive them. Forgive them? But many times when people read, they put that word is don't forgive them. Oh, maybe the print was wrong. It should be don't forgive them. For they know very well what they were doing. For they didn't know. They didn't know what they were doing. They really didn't know. They were blinded, deceived by the devil. They were deceived by the devil. You see, our sister needs a jacket, right? Good. Praise the Lord. You see, if somebody needs a jacket, give them the jacket, right? Praise the Lord. Yeah. And this is the law, the righteous deeds of God's people. Right. Yeah, the righteousness of God's. Be perfect as our Heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. He gives rain even to the bad people, right? Is your neighbors all good people? Believers? Rebecca? Oh, they're all great people, honest. Richard, how is your neighborhood? Oh, okay. What about the surrounding area? I'm gonna move to Canada. But the Lord says God gives rain not just to the good people. He gives rain to both good and bad people. But if I were there, I would say, Father, don't give them rain, okay? But that is not the way our Heavenly Father is. Yeah. No. What about doing righteous deeds? We Christians, we love to do something good. But even how to give it, we have to do it the heavenly way. We have to do it the heavenly way. What is the heavenly way in giving alms? Not to be seen by men. This is the way you give. In Christianity, if you give a certain sum of money, your name will be in the board somewhere. Moses gave 10,000. Ah. George gave 10,000 and $1. And Ronnie, how much did you give? Oh, and people like to see who give how much. It's a show. It's a show. People like to show off. That's not a way we give. The Lord says, what your right hand give, don't let your left hand know. Is that possible? That your right hand or left hand didn't know what a right hand is doing? George, is that possible? You're right. It's not possible. But for the heavenly people, it is possible. It is your inward attitude. God didn't want you to boast. Right? How much you gave. Right? It is for yourself. You're not giving it to God. You're giving it for your own glory. That means in the eyes of God, what you gave is minus zero. Will not count. You gave your riches to the poor. Well, but it's just so that you can get tax deduction. Well, that doesn't count. Because you're not giving out of your heart. And you're not giving it for the sake of the Lord. When the Lord came to this earth and gave himself, he's doing it for the Father's will, out of love, not out of himself. Right. If you do it to let people know and to make a name for yourself, you're a hypocrite. It's a show. The word hypocrite in Greek also means it's theatric, doing it as a show. You become an actor, a good actor and a good actress. Don't be like that. Yeah. So here it says, in giving alms, in praying, and in fasting. You know, the Pharisees, the Lord says, they like to pray long prayers for people to see. Good, nice, wonderful, long, written prayers. No, God will not listen to such prayers. So if you read how to pray, the Lord says, not with many words. And not to pray, to show people you're a prayer. No. That is why the Lord says, when you pray, lock yourself up in your closet. But make sure you can get out again. Meaning to say, it's not for people to see. It is your relationship with God. It is your private fellowship with the Father. It is wonderful. It's divine. You know, when the Lord prayed, right? He prayed when everybody else is sleeping. Then he went to pray to the Father. So, we all need to have a very private time with God. Not for people to see. And not for people to hear, oh, he can really pray. Oh, certain brothers can really pray. You know, when I was a young boy in Manila, my goodness, one prayer lasts for almost 5 minutes. They can really pray. And what was our reaction as young people? When is it going to stop? This is why even today I'm so afraid. I'm allergic to long prayers. I think even the Father will fall asleep. it becomes meaningless. Right? Because the Father already knows even before you ask him. Even learning to give an offering to the Father, don't describe the situation for about 2 or 3 minutes and that, Father, this is a burnt offering for you. No, the Father already knows all of this. But it's the reality that counts. It is the reality, the substance that counts. Right. In prayers, praise the Lord. And, what can I say, right? And then in fasting. Right. It's good to fast. But it doesn't mean that you should fast like the Lord in the wilderness for 40 days, okay? Please don't do that. But you can fast when you have the burden, right? It is healthy to do so, to separate the time. Why? What is the principle of fasting? Because for a human being, our belly is our God. This is what Paul wrote. Their God is their belly. Everybody takes care. When they are hungry, they can't do anything else. They have so much for their stomach. So to fast means, spiritually, I don't care for myself. I want to devote this time, especially with a specific burden, to God. And I do believe that our God knows this. And our God knows that you're serious. And the Lord will hear your prayers, and not only that, will be above all that you ask or think. Yeah. So, to fast once in a while, to spend time with the Lord is good. Healthy. So the Lord mentioned these three things, right? Learn this, not to be seen by men. That means not to be hypocritical, right? The righteous way, not to be seen, do it in secret, to give alms and to receive the reward from the Heavenly Father. If you do this, the Father will reward you. Okay? Praise the Lord. Then the Lord gave us a special instruction concerning prayers. You can read, everybody knows the Lord's Prayer. But one thing I always told the brothers and the saints, not with many words. You can have more prayers, shorter, but not long prayers. Then at the end of your prayers, the saints have nothing more to pray. Because you prayed everything already. So I just have to say amen and that's it, we can go home. Because you already include everything in your prayer, so nobody else needs to repeat again, right? So we just all say amen and that's it. We can go home. 10 minutes? Yeah, well, it's good to come, but only for 10 minutes. Right, because so-and-so prayed everything. All right. We just say amen, and that's good enough. No. Right. But if you make long prayers, one problem is that many times it is not very genuine. And you become a professional prayer. Oh, I'm sorry to say this. But hey, because now you know how to pray. It's not knowing how to pray. Right. When you talk to your wife, while you speak for 10 minutes, What will Lynn say? Stop. It's my turn. No. It's genuine. Just say short prayer. What is the real burden in your heart? Just tell the Lord. I need this. This is my burden here. And that's good enough. And others have other burden. And then together we can share the prayer of the saints. And we can say amen. Right. So learn this. Okay, learn how to pray. And especially the main concern of our prayer is the Father's will. Not firstly our concern. That is what concerns the Father. And this is why there is a prayer of the priesthood is before the golden incense altar. Learn this. I don't need to say this. You know what I mean, right? Good. Dealing with earthly treasures, you know that. It's easy. Read it yourself. You're not serving two masters. This is the main thing. And don't be anxious. If you serve him, the Father will take care of all of your needs. I can testify to that. He will take care of all of your needs. Right, so don't be anxious and don't serve two masters. You can have a good job. That's wonderful and that's good. But you're not serving that company. You're serving God. You're just earning a living, that's all. A love, not a world. And then dealing with other people. I think this is important to quickly see. Oh, is that a long one? Okay, no, I'll try to make it short. We have 5 more minutes, maybe. Without sensorial judgment. What I mean is, don't criticize others. Don't talk about other people so much. Right? We like to criticize, we like to talk about other people. Whenever we come together, oh, do you know about this condition of these brothers and that sisters? And let me tell you, did you know what happened? Goodness, it's not going to help anybody. This is why Paul says, judge not that you be not judged. It doesn't mean that you're judging something that is wrong or sinful. No, that judgment that Paul or the Lord is talking about is criticizing others. Right? Don't do that. It's so easy to see, what does the Lord say? The speck in other people's eyes, but then, and what about your own what? Beam. How big is a beam? As big as this. You can't see it in your own eyes. A beam is a big log. We can see other people's fault, but then our own fault we don't see. Don't do that, the Lord says. Don't do that. Yeah. Learn, if you have nothing good to say about anybody, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Yeah. Right. So, this is how we deal with others. And allow the Lord to examine our heart first. Right. This is why you have Psalm 139. I think everyone knows Psalm 139. And then follow the golden rule in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Don't do to others what you don't want others to do to you. Right? You like others to criticize you? Who wants other people to criticize you? Do you? Then don't do the same to others. Follow the golden rule. Yeah. and having a discerning spirit. It doesn't mean that we, the people of God, of the kingdom, accept everything. Although we don't criticize, but we have to have a discerning spirit. What is right, what is real, what is not real. But if you have that discernment, zip your lips. Don't criticize others. Right? Because we ourselves have so many faults. Who is here without fault? You remember John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery? And everybody was judging that woman because she was caught. You think those guys who were judging that woman did not commit adultery? Maybe they did more, but they were not caught. And this is the problem. We judge others, although we ourselves are not perfect. Remember that. Unless you are perfect. And who is perfect? Only the Lord. And yet the Lord did not judge us. Learn from him. We have his life, the kingdom life. Right. And then Roman numeral 8. Yeah. Take the narrow way into the kingdom. It is not an easy way. A narrow way doesn't mean that it is very hard. No. A narrow way doesn't mean that, oh, you have to squeeze yourself into it. The narrow way is just right for you to enter in. Leave everything else outside. Yeah. The Lord will not create a way that's so narrow. You have to reduce and reduce. At the end, you are only a stick, and then you can go in. No, the narrow way is just a normal right way. Nothing extra. Right? But you can go in. But if you have so many extra things with you that you want to bring with you, then it is very narrow for you. Yeah. So remember, narrow way does not mean it's a hard way, impossible, so difficult. No. It's not so difficult. It is just you are difficult, not the way. But you are and we are, right? That's the way of righteousness and a path of justice in Proverbs 8. It's the highway of holiness. If you're not holy, you cannot enter in. It's too narrow. Right. It's the way of the cross, the way of affliction and sufferings. It is God's choice. You follow the Lamb, not your own choice. Right. And if you say, it is too hard, I cannot do it, you ask, you seek the Lord, and you knock, and the Lord will help you. Isn't that easy? Just ask, just seek, and just knock. Sit, walk, and stand. Right. The Lord says, ah, seek, you shall find. And knock, the Lord will open to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't think it is so difficult. No, it is not. Because we have that wonderful kingdom life. For me to catch the mouse is so difficult because I don't have a cat's life. But for a cat, oh, it was a joy to go after rats and mouse and mice. Because of the cat's life, I don't have that life. Praise the Lord. Then we have the royal law, like what James wrote, and the law of liberty. Actually, it is a royal law, kingly law. It is normal being a citizen of the kingdom of the heavens, being born again, having the kingdom life and a king living within us. It is a royal law. And the law of liberty, it sets you free. You will not be enslaved. You're free. The land of the free. Right. Keeping the Constitution of the United States will make you a free country. But if you destroy the Constitution, you become a slave. So, United States, as an example, is the land of the free. Right? Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Okay, and now we all know the law of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. And this is why in the new covenant, the last point is the reason why it works, because it's not written outwardly on the wall somewhere or in a book. It is inscribed in your heart. That means it becomes a part of your life. It is inscribed in your heart. Everything is automatic in your heart, right? Whatever is in your heart and all the organs, it works automatically, as long as you're alive. So now, the whole law is inscribed in our heart and put in our mind. Wonderful. Amen. Amen. So, praise the Lord for the kingdom. The rest, you read it yourself. The Lord had a conclusion there. What it's like for those who listen to his word and do it will be like a person who built his house upon a rock. It can withstand all kinds of trials. If you heard a word and you don't do it, your kingdom or whatever you built will be like building on the sand. It cannot withstand any trial. Praise the Lord. Okay. Thank you for your patience. Amen. Amen.